how to glide in your stride and hitch a ride to the soulful side with Upfront Soul. I'm your host, Sanguine Fromage, and I'll be laying down 120 minutes of soulful sounds to which you may get down. We'll be spinning funk, soul, and jazz, rarities, and deep cuts. If you want soul, get it up front. Listen to Upfront Soul all night long, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern every day on Shyampa Internet Radio. If it's all night, it's got to be all right.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Nullsoft Shoutcast.
This is the show that nobody told you about. This is the show that your mother warned you about. This is the show that you probably shouldn't be listening to. This is
Shyampa.
Holy shitsnats, let me tell you. Sometimes
electronic circuit bitch. Yep. Bang ding oh. Oh yeah, we Kensfield. I need a new air filter in my car.
Oh my god.
My goodness. Yeah, Betty needs a new air filter. We need better timing some nights, cause you know, I was mashing up all the wrong buttons. So hey everyone, this is Anthony from Tampa.
Hey everybody, it's Joe in Chicago.
Hi, I am your lovable Shyampa radio host, Betty, and you know what? My butthole says let's get started with tonight's broadcast of episode 57. I'll vacuum only as far as the cord will reach. For Monday, September 5th, 2016. And now, for the weather. Hey Anthony, how is it in Tampa?
I love the title, because that is a phrase that is spoken around the household. I will only vacuum as far as the cord will reach.
And that's
all you get from me. That's all you get. It gets plugged in once, and that's all. All right.
And for some people, it's only as far as the rechargeable battery lasts.
No, exactly. Exactly. You've got one of them fancy-dancy cordless vacuums. Anyway, folks. Thank you, Betty. It's time for your Shyampa weather for Tampa Bay from Tampa International Airport, KTPA. I've been so lazy on my weather lately. I deleted your weather too because it was like running till like Friday from last week, and so was mine. Mine ran all the way from, so it was running all weekend with like a totally outdated forecast. We're sorry, folks. Sometimes life gets busy. Sometimes life gets busy in the Shyampa studios. So anyway, tropical storm Hermine has come and gone, and while it didn't wreak too much havoc in the Tampa Bay area, we still got plenty of localized flooding. It is currently 80 degrees outside with some light rain. Humidity is at 90%, giving us a heat index about 86%, heat index of 86 degrees, but it does feel like a swimming pool when you walk outside. The dew point is 77 degrees, and we have about 10 miles worth of visibility. Tonight, Monday night, will be mostly cloudy, with then gradually becoming mostly clear with a low around 74. On Tuesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 90. Tuesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 74. And on Wednesday, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 90 degrees. Summer has not let go yet, folks. Expect scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 in the afternoon with a 30% chance of precipitation. And that's your weather for Tampa Bay.
Well, thank you, Anthony. And now for your current Shyampa Chicago weather. From Chicago's beloved Midway International Airport, KMDW. And at the time of our live broadcast, we were at 88 degrees and humidity was at 54%. Wind speeds were southwest at 13 miles per hour, with a barometer at 30.02 inches of mercury. Dew point is at a slightly sultry 69 degrees. Visibility for you pilots is 10 miles, and in the heat index is at 93. So it is like a can of soup or a bowl of soup or whatever you want to call it, pea soup. Tonight, Monday night, will be mostly clear. Temps around 73. Tuesday will be a hot one, but rejoice! It will be mostly sunny with a high near 89. Heat index values could be as high as 96.
Wow.
It could be a little gusty, too, during the day. Watch those brunch mimosas. If you're taking a spin on the town Tuesday night, just know that there is a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. Temps should be around 75. Oh man, Wednesday, another hot one for the Chi-Town. We're also going to see a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms during the day. Otherwise, it should be partly sunny with a high near 90. Heat index values could be as high as 97. Another gusty day, too. If you're going out Wednesday night, expect more showers. Temps around 73, gusty, and a 70% chance you'll forget your umbrella. And that's your latest Chicago weather. Are you a cheap?
Wait, hold on. You started dropping out on us. We started getting drops.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, weather 193.
Weather 193. You come through, weather 193. 193, weather, please go through.
And that's your latest 193 Chicago weather. Are you a DJ, musician, band, or podcaster looking for more exposure? Let us play you. Send an email to playus@shyampa.info or call the studios at 813-327-8566. Betty, we'll take your message so we can eat.
Chicago 1932, you're breaking up. Chicago 1932, you're breaking up.
That's sad. I can't control anything, unfortunately.
Damn you, interwebs. Damn you.
Yeah.
Well, it's still better than Skype.
Yeah, this is true.
So anyway, why don't you give us that last bit with the phone number one more time?
Well, you know, send an email to playus@shyampa.info or give us a call at the studios at 813-327-8566 and Betty will take your message. So leave us some juicy details about who you are and we will be in touch.
Fantastic. That is just friggin' awesome.
Was that sexy?
That definitely wasn't. So, I got an interesting Facebook message the other day.
Why is it Christmas?
Because it's just one of those things. We've been contacted by a radio station in Goldfield, Nevada. And if you Google Goldfield, Nevada, not only will the script start magically moving in front of your eyes with pink highlights moving back and forth. I wonder who that might be.
It's the Tchaikovsky ballet thing.
Oh, Jesus. So, anywho, you had a story here actually before here that this music was for, but I don't remember what it was anymore. So, anywho.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to tell you that I moved it to the second.
Wow. There we go. So, here, I'll advance this to something else. So, anyway. So, the station, KGFN, out of Goldfield, Nevada. Tiny, tiny station. Definitely a one-horse town. 150-watt transmitter. Maybe can reach about 600 people. Because there's a town just, like, 20 miles north of there that can also receive the station if necessary. Has expressed interest in carrying us. We don't know if they've actually listened to our shit yet. They may want to do so before thinking about it. But if they do, it would be so fitting because I think it's by Area 51 and Google Clown Motel, Nevada. That is all the reason that this place must be. There's a clown motel in the town just north of there. Yeah, if they pick us up, I will like to try to get there. I'll do what I can to get there and take a trip and visit them.
And maybe that could be part of our Pacific Northwest tour.
Yes,
because we also need to visit Colorado.
No. Well, that's not really Pacific Northwest. That's actually more of the Southwest.
Well, Colorado is kind of mountain.
Colorado's mountain, but Colorado. crazy, crazy Area 51, Nevada, and Oregon are three different geographical regions. So it would actually be our mountain Southwest North Pacific Rim Tour. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
There you go. It could be a total word jumble. Anyway, So we may be picked up by an actual terrestrial radio station for God knows how long, but that'd be kind of awesome. So
stay tuned to continued reports, because we're going to work this one. I think this would be a really cool way for us to gauge interest.
Yes,
you know how
exactly.
They do opinion polls?
It's like a market search. And all that? Market research.
Right.
Market research.
Exactly.
If we go and if they carry us, we might become local celebrities to like 300 people in this strange little town in Nevada. You should, if you haven't yet, you should really do the Google Maps Street View with it. Goldfield, Nevada. It's quite interesting. It's a very interesting place. I saw it and I'm like, I want to visit here. Just because it's interesting.
The International Car Forest of the Last Church.
The internet? Yes, exactly. There you go. So, anywho. Yeah.
Oh my God, there's a picture of these cars.
Yeah.
Just in abstract poses.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. It's,
yep, we gotta go.
We gotta go. We gotta go.
We gotta go to.
Oh yeah, we gotta go. We gotta go. We hopefully Nevada. Goldfield, Nevada. Hopefully the station will pick us up. And
well, here's another thing too, though. If we go, I hope they have a good breakfast place, like a diner kind of breakfast place.
I'm sure they probably do. There's a few interesting places, and we might. Well, we got. Let's see. We got 7 minutes until we go into your news. How much time do you think we need to talk about the mosquito bees thing? Or was that mine? I put that there. We don't even have to talk about that.
One, though.
Is that we do need to talk about it. So let's take it a few more minutes, and we'll spend a few more minutes on Goldfield, Nevada, and then that KGFN 89.1 in Goldfield, Nevada. And because I'm very curious, I have to tell you about this hotel that I saw that was also quite interesting. Other than the clown hotel is scary. The clown motel, and that's near. Let's see. Let's do this. Oh, what's going on? Here we go.
Now I also found a place. It is called the Dinky Diner.
The Dinky Diner.
Yes.
The Dinky Diner. Oh, yes. The Cloud Motel is in Tonopah, Tonopah, Nevada, which is actually where the nearest hotel is if we do decide to visit this place, because they're a good 2-hour drive, it looks like, from Las Vegas, which is where we'd have to fly into. So we'd have to fly into Vegas, rent a car, and then drive. So, I mean, I don't see us spending more than a few days here. Anything more than that kind of scares me right now. And I'm sure they're lovely people. But that's that's definitely a one horse town.
It has a couple of attractions.
But it definitely looks interesting.
It could be definitely a diner eating experience if all these places are still open.
That's true. That's true. Because, they did have a decrease in population. So, but anywho. Right. Yeah. So, you know, we got some exposure there. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And you can stay tuned. And we'll definitely let you know if we become local celebrities in Goldfield, Nevada. So. Now, kind of moving our attention a little bit further east, we have an issue of a county in South Carolina that did I see a pen. There's a pen in the frame. Does this pen mean something? No. Okay. No, you were talking, and I saw you. You did this like with your pen. You like held it up like this, like you wanted to say something.
No. What happened was I muted myself because I had to cough, and it just so happened when I turned this way.
Oh yes, the pen. See, and I thought you were trying to get my attention. Yes.
No, it was just a natural kinetic reaction.
Yes, yes. Do the people of Goldwater, Nevada, find this exciting? I hope so.
you know, it happens to everybody.
Yes, exactly. So. Dorchester County, South Carolina, wanted to try to be proactive in taking care of the West Nile and Zika outbreaks that are killing millions in their county on an hourly basis.
Millions of people?
Millions of people, yes. That's why they had to just do... Well, they sprayed chemicals. What they did is they sprayed chemicals from the airplanes. They flew over the town with airplanes and did a bug spray in the morning.
I want to know where the people pop out to replenish the millions that get killed.
I know, exactly. Well, that's the whole thing. It's an overreaction.
This is our Area 51 tag.
Exactly. Area 51 tag. Exactly. Yep, that's how it goes. So anyway, they did a mosquito spraying on a Sunday morning from 6:30 in the morning till 8:30 in the morning by airplane. And then by Sunday afternoon, thousands of bee carcasses dotted a person's, this Andrew's home. Apparently, it had killed millions of bees. About 2 million bees. 2 million bees. Wow. Yes. 2 million bees. In this town, spraying for mosquitoes, and we actually have a caller. So let's take our caller here.
Oh,
yes, hello, caller.
Caller,
you are on the air.
Hello, caller.
Oh wait, there's caller. Yeah, turn down your radio, caller. You can't listen to yourself and talk to us. There's a delay. Joe does it all the time. All right.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
All right.
What happened?
I don't know. He said something about holding on. Are you still there, caller? Oh, okay. He's getting something. Oh, he had to hang up. Okay.
Ezel is on the run.
Yes, Ezel is on the run. So we'll see what happens with Ezel. So Dorchester County, there are 2 million bees were killed in Dorchester County spraying for Zika and West Nile. And again, I mean, Zika and West Nile are problems, but the honeybee is very important to the whole, you know, the whole pollination life cycle ecosystem thing. Without the... without the honeybee... We have nothing. And the Sugar Plum Dance Fairy thingy. I don't know. I had to find some background music. It's the cart that was in.
That's fine.
It was there. I picked it. I have to remember to use it for the story that it was originally intended for. Which one was that for? Oh, yeah, that was for the couple that left shortly after arriving.
That's a crazy story. We're going to get to that in the second.
Yes,
half
I
of
definitely,
show.
I definitely want to talk about that because I saw little bits and pieces about that.
You know,
on my,
it's like Chicago's notorious for so many things. Oh, we got a caller. Phone.
We got a caller again. Let's see if this works again. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Ezel, you grown wings.
I can't hear you so good. I heard the problem.
Oh my god.
Ezel. Clearly you have lots of beehives. It sounds like you're being attacked by millions of bees. You might want to get a bee suit, Ezel. That might be important. And are you allergic to bees by chance, Ezel?
I don't know. I've been trying to make some new kind of honey.
I see.
What I've been doing is I've been putting a little bit of blood in the honey cell.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Oh, man, that's good. They were all over there, man.
That's what it sounded like.
So, anyway, they're taking a rest now. So, what I got planned is I'm going to put a little bit of bud in every honey cell.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to market it. How does that sound?
I think that sounds awesome.
Instead of cookies... You're going to have honey. money with the stuff in it. You understand?
Oh, no, no. I totally get it. And actually, you can find it out there. But I think you're onto something with this Ezel.
We can call it Ezel's Honeybee.
Yeah, Ezel's Honeybee. Right. Be safe, Ezel. Make sure you grab an EpiPen. All right, Ezel.
Oh my God.
Don't forget the EpiPen, Ezel. God, I hope you're not allergic to bees.
Oh, these talking points get more traumatic each and every time.
I know, right? Tell me about it. So, anywho, we got to hit your news here, but let's give a little quick shout-out here before we run into your news here. World Labor Hour at WEFT Champaign-Urbana, Saturdays, 12 Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. We do a live one-hour recast of them on Saturday mornings. But we also replay it the following Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, but that's going to 2 hours soon. Kevin McLeod for all of the wonderful background music. SCA TV, Boston Free Radio for toppers. WSFM for the final straw in Asheville, North Carolina. WGCS for Radio Thrift Shop in New London, New Hampshire. And Outfar Press in Oregon for the Shortwave Report with Dan Roberts.
And now for the news.
Well, hey, everybody. Good evening from the Chicago studios. It's the Worldwide News with Joe. And tonight we've actually got a bit of a featurette because guess what? It is Labor Day. And this is sourced from history.com. Observed on the first Monday in September, Labor Day pays tribute to the contributions and achievements of American workers. It was created by the labor movement in the late 19th century and became a federal holiday in 1894.
Sweet.
Labor Day also symbolizes the end of summer for many Americans and is celebrated with parties, parades, athletic events, and probably an onslaught of memes telling you not to wear white. Labor Day, an annual celebration of workers and their achievements, originated during one of American labor history's most dismal chapters. In the late 1800s, at the time of Little House on the Prairie, and at the height of the Industrial Revolution in the United States, the average American worked 12 hours and 7-day weeks in order to eke out a basic living. Despite restrictions in some states, children as young as 5 or 6 toiled in mills, factories, and mines across the country, earning a fraction of their adult counterparts' wages, which were also low at the time. People of all ages, particularly the poor, the very poor, and recent immigrants, often faced extreme unsafe working conditions with insufficient access to fresh air, sanitary facilities, and breaks. But as manufacturing increasingly supplanted agriculture as the wellspring of American employment, labor unions, which first appeared in the late 18th century, grew more prominent and vocal. They began organizing strikes and rallies to protest poor conditions and compel employers to renegotiate hours and pay. Many of these events turned violent during this period, including the infamous Haymarket Riot of 1886, in which several Chicago policemen and workers were killed. Others gave rise to long-standing traditions. On September 5, 1882, 10,000 workers took unpaid time off to march from City Hall to Union Square in New York City, holding the first Labor Day parade in U.S. history. You know, the idea of a working man's holiday celebrated on the first Monday of September caught on in other industrial centers across the country. And many states passed legislation recognizing it. Congress would not legalize the holiday until 12 years later, when a watershed movement in American history, labor history, brought workers' rights squarely into the public's view. On May 11, 1894, employees of the Pullman Palace Car Company in Chicago went on strike to protest wage cuts and the firing of union representatives. I tell you, Chicago was the center of a lot of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
On June 26th, the American Railroad Union, led by Eugene V. Debs, called for a boycott of all Pullman railway cars, crippling railroad traffic nationwide. To break the strike, the federal government dispatched troops to Chicago, unleashing a wave of riots that resulted in the deaths of more than a dozen workers. In the wake of this massive unrest and in an attempt to repair ties with American workers, Congress passed an act making Labor Day a legal holiday in the District of Columbia and territories. And more than a century later, the true founder of Labor Day is yet to be identified. They say it's credited to Peter J. McGuire, co-founder of the AFL, American Federation of Labor, while others have suggested that Matthew McGuire, a secretary of the Central Labor Union, CLU, first proposed the holiday. Labor Day is still celebrated in cities and towns across the United States with parades, picnics, barbecues, fireworks, displays, and other public gatherings. For many Americans, particularly children and young adults, it represents the end of the summer and the start of the back-to-school season. Yes, because all the little rugrats go back to school tomorrow, here around here anyways.
No, they went back to school up here, down here, like about a month ago now.
Well, yeah, that's probably because it's so dang hot they need air conditioning.
We all have air conditioning.
Especially if they don't get it at home. Well, but if they don't get it at home. I bet there's a lot of homes that don't have air conditioning.
I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's possible to actually be able to survive in Florida during the summer without air conditioning. Many, many homes do. Many rent, all rentals have air conditioning. It's very hard to find a rental in Florida without air conditioning.
I wonder if anybody asks, I want a non-air conditioned apartment.
Think of it this way. Do you think there are a lot of non-heated apartments in Chicago?
I guess not.
Exactly. Heat to you is what air conditioning is to us. Literally. We can survive without heat because it doesn't get that cold down here. And on the few days it does get cold, it's not that bad. Without air conditioning, it's just, I mean, our heat index pushes 110 for, you know, almost 2-3 weeks straight. So it's a bit of a scorcher. So, yeah, most places, I was surprised, but almost all apartments have some form of air conditioning here. So, anywho. So, yes. So, let's move on.
But, let's move on to this next one, because this one's really funky. Now, I don't get it. I really don't. I attached a picture. All of these people, these British Olympians returning from Rio, found themselves faced with a challenge as daunting as the games themselves, identifying their luggage. Now, if you look at the picture, which we'll somehow link to on our Facebook, it's... Everybody's got the same damn bag, probably because they're all provided by their sponsors, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it is. The Team Great Britain members landed Tuesday at London's Heathrow Airport and headed to baggage claim, where they quickly learned the downside of their team's matching red luggage.
Wow.
Mine's the red one, windsurfer Nick Dempsey tweeted, along with a perplexed-looking selfie featuring dozens of red bags in the background. Baggage collection could be interesting, the official on Twitter. Finding my bag could prove more challenging than the racing, rower Matt Langridge tweeted. Now, you know, I'm looking at this. It's like, well, these bags don't look that big. They could probably all fit in if they all took one plane.
Yeah.
I would imagine they could fit on overhead.
I would imagine, yeah. There's a kitty behind you.
There is. Hi, kitty. She wants to be part of the show.
She does. Hi, kitty.
She's like, what's this about luggage?
Exactly. No,
she loves luggage.
You know what she's interested in? She's interested in the next one. Kitty wants some ice cream.
Does she now?
She does.
Spilled ice cream, Anthony, is a shame. Isn't that true, kitty?
It is a shame.
However, $5,000 worth of spilled ice cream lost in Southern California in August is an outright tragedy. Interstate 10 in Whitewater, California saw heavy delays on Thursday because of that exact scenario,
reported
the Desert Sun. Three refrigerators full of ice cream and frozen fruit bars met their demise on the hot asphalt. It's better than hazardous material, California Highway Patrol Officer Darren Meyer told the Desert Sun. It's a little bit of spilt ice cream, but no one got hurt. Yeah, except it's all sticky and everybody's car tires probably got all caked with it.
Yeah.
Talk about looking on the bright side, though. No doubt, the delayed motorists would have enjoyed a frozen treat while idling under the hot sun. As if the spilled ice cream wasn't bad enough news on its own, the shipment was reportedly en route to a school. So, yeah, that's pretty sad. If it had only been meat and bread trucks colliding, then at least the backed-up motorists would have had the makings for lunch. There was no accidents or, you know, nobody got hurt, so we're all good.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yes.
Just kind of one of those unfortunate things. All right.
It's crazy.
That is crazy. Well, thanks, Joe. Do you want to be part of this unique on-air international streaming experience? On-air is spelled with an E. Visit Shyampa.info to find out how. Hang tight, folks. We'll be back in about 4 minutes when I locate the cart somewhere on the screen.
Listen, we're not NPR. We only ask that you talk up once in a while. Keep your wallets in your pocket, and if you happen to have on one flat and one pump, well, we have some wisdom for you, and that is keep it tuned to WEED for your oral caffeine.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe, your host on WEED Cheyenne Radio. Do you miss those commercials that we used to broadcast? You know, some of those retro commercials for Alka-Seltzer, and Kent Cigarettes, and Philip Morris? Well, tonight, in Joe's Retromercials, we bring them to you here on WEED, Cheyenne Radio. Flashback.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. It was only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
When you say that, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say that, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say what, you said the word that means a lot to do it all. When you say what, it means you want the beer that's got a taste that's number one. When you say what, you tell the world you know what makes it all the way. When you say but, you say you care enough to only want the king of beer. There is the other one, there's only something less. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
This is CPRMetro.org, Community Progressive Radio for the metropolitan New York area and the world, and I'm Don DeBar. I'd like to speak with you about a couple of things. First, we need to grow our audience, and we need your help to do that. Please, using whatever social media you have, post links to the website CPRMetro.org and to our Facebook page. We also need to raise money to pay the bills here. We spend about $330 a month to stream over the internet, and we have equipment that we have to replace from time to time. We'd even like to buy new equipment so that we can go out in the field and add more producers. Again, you can help. The donate button on our website is a convenient way to help us out. Finally, our 30-minute daily newscast, the CPR News, and our Sunday special, CPR Sunday, are available for air on radio stations and public access TV stations. Please contact your local radio station and public access TV station and ask them to carry it. Be persistent. Help us reach as many people as possible. We rely on you for support, and we appreciate all the support you give us. Thank you.
You're listening to Cheyampa Weed Radio, Chicago, Tampa, Cheyampa Radio.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Null Soft Shoutcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Stay tuned. Anthony's Crazy Florida News is next. Before we kick off into segment B, I first want to tell you that today is National Cheese Pizza Day and, of course, Labor Day, which is always the first Monday in September. People labor to give you that cheese pizza you are probably eating with a ton of other ingredients on it, making your bongs all greasy. Well, go get those bongs, bitches, so we can start Anthony's Crazy Florida News. Take it away, Anthony.
Yeah,
thanks,
Ben.
My device in my hands.
I know, right? Yep, that's a definite right now. Yeah,
this one's different.
Did you get a new database access
program? This is a different programming language.
Wow. So how's that new programming language working out for you?
Well, it's different. Okay. Well, of course, I would have to say, like, you know, for the most part, the functionality is a little more enhanced.
Interesting.
Yes.
Enhanced functionality.
It's always good. But you've got some enhanced functionality criminals going on.
Oh,
tonight,
I've got some crazy Florida news. I always have. Oh, wait, no. There we go. Oops. Exactly. All right, so there we go. So time and time again, I have given you news of Florida criminals who weren't too smart and were careless about hiding their identity. We've had criminals who've dropped their wallet in the store while fleeing an armed robbery, to criminals being recognized and identified from their rap videos on YouTube. Well, the Florida Sun Sentinel brings us a Florida criminal that almost made a clean getaway. Almost. Yeah. Police reports show that a Delray Beach police officer noticed that a glass door at a Metro PCS store was smashed shortly before 7:30 in the morning. Police investigated the scene and discovered that the burglars shut off power to the building, leaving surveillance cameras and alarms disabled. Officers walked into the ransacked store and noticed the smell of glass cleaner. An investigator at the scene was unable to turn up any fingerprints until finding a bottle of Windex, which the burglar used to remove fingerprints from everything but the bottle of Windex. The fingerprints led to the arrest of Jonathan, 19, of Delray Beach. According to police, Jonathan told investigators that he and another man waited until the store closed, smashed in the door, and after police didn't respond, ransacked the store. He had tried to take phones from a display. Jonathan had told police an alarm went off, so he tried to pour a nearby bottle of Windex to short-circuit the alarm, then ran off with about 8 phones. After charging the phones and not being able to use them, Jonathan said he and the other man threw them in a dumpster. Jonathan faces burglary and grand theft charges. He was booked into Palm Beach County and held on $13,000 bond.
Wow.
Almost. Just almost there. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions, as people say.
Yeah, well, you know, those good intentions only get you so far.
this next road this next road is paved with miles of smiles and other things. Okay, back to the script. Ah, yes. It looks like the nakedness is coming back to Florida. This time you can get your nakedness on the go. Tonight's Florida nakedness comes from ABC Channel 9 News WFTV out of Orlando. Investigators in the Flagler County are warning residents to be on the lookout for a serial flasher riding a motorcycle who has exposed himself to women 4 times in the past month. Right. The flasher, described as a black male in his early 20s, rides up to his victims with his genitals exposed and then drives away, according to the sheriff's office. The first incident happened on July 27th on Ray Drive when a woman was walking her dog. The suspect drove up to the woman on his motorcycle without his headlamp on. The man was wearing a full-face helmet and had his pants unzipped and asked the woman if she wanted to make $100. On August 11, the flasher struck again on Westchester Lane when the victim was out walking her dogs. The man drove up, exposed himself, and drove away. Two similar incidents happened on August 15th and the 26th on Pine Lane and Pinto Lanes. Anyone with information on our mobile flasher can contact Crime Stoppers of Northeast Florida at 888-277-8477. I see you have Pinto,
Pinto
highlighted.
Pinto,
yes. Pinto Lane. Yeah, serial exposure. We have to, we might have to get on the scene for that one.
Yeah. Yes.
There we go. There's the LGBT tag. All right. All right, here we go. Let's get this next card.
Oh, man.
There we go. Yeah. Let's see. Where we go? I got about 3 minutes. All right.
Now, this next one is just... what?
Yeah. Sometimes you just can't fix stupid. You just really can't fix it. You can.
First of all, let me just pad this a little bit by saying that I cannot stand Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew to me is disgusting.
Oh, I think it's horrible as well. I can't stand it either.
Yeah, I would never drink it. So
it tastes like piss. It tastes like piss, which I guess would make sense that he would assume that it would help him pass a piss test.
I piss Mountain Dew. How about you?
Hey, Jesus Christ, dude. What the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Right? I mean, come on.
But the only thing he'd be thinking is would buy him more time.
Or just prove that he's a huge diabetic.
Yeah, right? I'm like, let's run a blood sugar glucose. Oh my goodness, your sugar is off the charts! Your head is going to explode! I mean, Jesus Christ, with the amount of fucking sugar in that shit. Oh, God. Oh, God. Makes my head hurt. So, okay.
Oh, yeah,
exactly. Goes Roger. So, yeah. Our final Florida news story of the night comes from the Panama City News Herald and tells us about a man, a radiator hose, and a dream. According to Bay County, I could have done something different, but that's just what came out. According to a Bay County Sheriff's Office report, a 39-year-old Panama City man who said his name was Dumbass had taken a small radiator hose from his truck and filled it with liquid from a hot bottle of Mountain Dew in the truck's glove box after he learned he was going to be required to provide a urine sample before going into court. He was due in court for a pre-trial hearing on charges of trafficking in amphetamine, possession of hydrocodone, paraphernalia, dealing in stolen property, operating a chop shop, towing vehicles with no identifying information, false statements, okay. Application affidavit regarding lien, and grand theft auto. His bond was revoked. He has no bond. He wins the Florida news story of the night. That is the lottery of bail being held without bond.
That is awesome.
Exactly. That's that.
Now I have a question though.
What?
The story says filled with liquid.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I
didn't catch that when I was going through the copy. But you're right. So I don't think it was necessarily Mountain Dew in the bottle.
It could have been his piss.
It could have been a clean sample, either his or someone else's. It probably was somebody else's.
And I can imagine, being in a hot glove compartment or whatever. Yep. You know that. Yeah, I can see that. But that's still weird.
The delivery system has failed.
Well, and how do people get in? How are people allowed to get into a place? Into the private area to provide the sample and still have something on them.
There are smaller containers made of latex, bladders, stuff like that you can fill
up.
I'm
going to get a lot of flack for this.
And you know,
but, you know, if you're going to do that and you're going to try to be in some crazy good profession, don't fuck up.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily think Dumbass, as he self-identified as, is really had much of a career going. Let's go through this list one more time, and then we'll finish it. All right. So he was due in court for a pretrial hearing on charges of, all right, here we go, trafficking in MF. Why can't I pronounce that tonight?
Amphetamine?
Amphetamines. It's just a little too much of that. Yeah. So trafficking in amphetamines, possession of hydrocodone, and hydrocodone is Vicodin, possession of hydrocodone and paraphernalia, dealing in stolen property, operating a chop shop, towing vehicles with no identifying information, false statements, application affidavit regarding lien, and grand theft auto. His bond has been revoked. And that's it for your crazy Florida news.
Wow.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank the database you are tuned to, Shyampa Radio. Do you want to be a part of this unique on-air, spelled with an E, experience? Are you a DJ, musician, band, podcaster, or another attention kind of seeking whore looking for more exposure? Well, then visit www.shyampa.info to find out how. And now, hold on to your devices and grab your bongs, bitches. Because those two idiots are going to start labbering on now, about this or that. Here comes the plethora discussion segment. Take it away, guys.
Yeah, we're back, folks. It's our final segment. You know the plethora segment is always a treat.
It is always there a is treat. Always,
and we've got a treat for you tonight.
Yes, we do. Let's see. What? Oh, yes, this one. Okay, hold on.
Yes.
Let me
Now we're going to click into this story on Facebook, and you'll kind of see where our judgment is kind of coming from, at least mine. When I look at this picture, I see these two innocent-looking white people that don't have a freaking clue as to what the hell is going on, or they do because they're making a lot of shit ton of money off of it, and they figure, why not?
Yeah.
But Jalen and Brianna Joy White are a 19 and 18-year-old married couple. Brianna Joy White is a popular beauty vlogger. She is known for her YouTube channel, Brianna Joy. Her videos on makeup, beauty advice, and get ready with me are wildly popular. Brianna's videos get between 5 to 7 figure views. One view video got over 2 million views.
Wow.
She has over 300,000 followers on her YouTube channel. These kinds of numbers translate into advertising dollars.
Clearly.
Those would be kind of followers we want. We want 300,000 followers. We'll settle for 300.
Yeah, we'll settle for the town of Goldwater, Nevada, population 300.
Yes. But getting back to this story, her husband, Jalen, supposedly is in the house flipping business. He appears in some of his wife's videos. Earlier this month, they posted a video about their move to Chicago, and they're fleeing the city within 1 or 3 days.
Wow.
The exact amount of time they spent in Chicago is not quite clear. And they linked to another story about how we're homeless right now, no clickbait, blah, blah, blah. Went viral with over 1.2 million views as of this writing. Storytime is an apt description for their tale of woe. Uh-huh. It is a story, a bedtime story. It is a fable, a grim fairy tale, a cute piece of reality-based fiction. Contrary to their claim, clickbait is also an apt description for this grim fairy tale.
Hey, hold on to your hats here. We got a call coming in. We had a call coming in. I'm wondering if Ezel was calling us back. Hold on. Let's grab this. He might be attacked by bees still. Ezel? Is that you, Ezel?
Oh, Ezel.
Hey.
I've escaped. I'm hiding in some pine tree behind a barn.
Well, that's good.
I got to tell your listeners that if they want to be a backyard beekeeper, make sure you don't get no bees from Arizona.
Are they crazy bees from Arizona?
Some crazy Africanized bees.
The crazy Africanized bees.
They get nuts.
My goodness.
You ever hear of them things?
Yes. They can kill you. They can swarm you and kill you.
Yes, they can. And this guy, you know, I had some beehives before, you know. And this stupid plane came over. And it said the pine. communicable diseases or something. And
oh, that's not good.
This stuff. And he killed all my bees.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not.
You know what? I don't understand this government, man. They do one thing and then they screw up another thing.
Well, but that's
dumbasses.
That's how it all works, though. That's kind of how it all. It's just that constant flow of. Total chaos.
That's why we have 7-Eleven.
That's why we have 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
that is why we have 7-Eleven.
Yeah, I got a whole lot of
stuff. Oh, there we go.
So I got to ease the pain. I got about 10 stings here. Oh, man, they hurt.
Oh, do they hurt? That's not good.
Oh, man, they're bad. But I'm telling you, be careful where you get your bees from. Because, man, that is some nasty criticism. Now you got to tell your listeners, look for Ezo Macadose Honey, Luna Honey at the shelf, the local store. But, they found me. I got to go, boys.
All right, Ezo, be safe.
I got to go.
Make sure you grab that EpiPen. Make sure you get that EpiPen on your way out. Oh, goodness. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, he better be careful with them bees. Those bees sound pretty nasty.
Yeah, no.
I've been hearing about those bees coming.
Those are aggressive bees, and definitely not something you see me dealing with. Wow.
So, good for Ezo. Let's get back to the story real quick.
Yes. Did they have a problem with bees?
Yeah, no, they didn't have a problem with bees. They had a problem with some homeless guy that apparently was following them.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, you know. According to the tale, they were allegedly accosted by a man at the Granville Red Line station. The guy made them feel creepy. They left the station to get away from him. They claimed the creepy guy followed them. The cutesy couple went into a nearby subway store. The creepy man stayed outside. Jalen went outside to confront the man. After a brief conversation, he returned to the restaurant. Being a cutesy couple, they called Uber. She ordered a sandwich. Jalen allegedly went back out to confront the creepy guy a second time. This is where the wheels came off. Supposedly, the creepy guy became angry, clocked Jalen, causing him to lose his shoe. His wife picked up the shoe. They fled, thanks to a good Samaritan who drove them to a nearby CVS pharmacy.
Wait,
the cutesy
wait.
Couple decided.
Wait, yes. Hold on. I'm going through so.
So yeah, basically they got for some reason.
So he actually decided to be more of a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
the dude was probably homeless and obviously begging for money. And yeah, he probably followed them for the subway. I think I know exactly where that is in relation to the Granville station. Which is like what 100 feet.
And for some
from the
reason,
station.
this yeah, it's not that far. It's in that new section.
Yeah, and so now
they redesigned all that.
Okay, so now he's all pissed off, and he goes and starts. So he starts being the aggressor in this whole thing. This dude, because
you sit in
outside.
Subway for a half hour, the dude's probably gotta find something else to figure out.
No, exactly.
Seriously,
exactly. Wow. So they got in a brawl and went to a nearby CVS.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, so then they decided to, they created a video. They made a video about their harrowing experience. And that is what cutesy couple savvy vloggers do. The video went viral.
Wow.
So a few local news organizations, and I do remember, like, I think WGN picked it up. And I know DNA Info picked it up. And I think Chicago has picked it up. And even I think Crane's Chicago Business picked it up. So, you know, it kind of called to the attention of what people will do and how they can really exploit the city, which I don't know if that hurts or haunts us or makes it better for certain types of people to come to the city. I don't know. It's,
I don't know.
You know, it, on one hand, the city is like a big carnival. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, the city is like Grand Theft Auto with a bunch of people just shooting everything up everywhere. Seriously. So these folks, anyways, we're getting back to these folks.
We're getting back to these people.
You know, it is 15 minutes of fame for a cutesy couple with internet marketing savvy. The tale only appears to the suckers born every minute. The viral video, like the couple, is cutesy. It's what's that word? Treacly. I've never heard that word before. What's treacly? T T-R-E-A-C-L-Y. What's trickly? I've never heard of the word trickly. 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 Defined by dictionary.com.
Okay.
It is contrived or unrestrained sentimentality. A movie plot of the most shameless trickle. British molasses, especially that which is drained from the vats used in sugar refining.
I see.
Also called golden syrup. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
How different. Yeah, that's strange. And okay. It's it could be Greek, Latin, or Old French. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Trickly.
Wow, trickly.
That's how I feel about these people, though, man. I mean, they made a video. They probably made some money and some advertising off of this.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's like here, normal Chicagoans. I'm done with the story, by the way. I'm done with looking at the story because it's making me insane. But that was a ChicagoNow.com blogger, which I will post a link to that on our Facebook. For a moment, though,
that has
when I lost.
Been done.
Yeah. Good. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Isn't that crazy?
That's
now
crazy.
Now they're trying to make a tour. They're trying to make a tour out of it.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Why wouldn't they?
Wow.
Wow. Well, hey, folks. Chip Skipper's little flag is in the way. Thanks for tuning in tonight or listening in on your favorite device if you're listening to us on the recast or if you're listening to us live, which would be right now. But then if you listen to us later, we won't be live. But we'll be saying we're live right now. It's a paradox. Don't forget to make your commute more commutable. Listen to Weekday Rush Hour every morning at 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central in the morning. And then the afternoons, you can catch Traffic with Toppers on weekday afternoons at 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. And that runs for 3 hours. Toppers is very entertaining. Great minds listen to Shyamples. Great minds listen to Shyampa's commutable programming.
Speaking of great minds, be sure to check out Headphone Meditations on Saturday and Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, and then the Grok Science Show during my Weekend with Joe segment. Great programming we carry on Shyampa Radio during the weekends, all from our friends also at www.archive.org.
We need to talk about that, too. I might have an idea you can use for your programming on your weekend things. All kinds of minds, Joe, from the Radio Thrift Shop on WGCS to the Shortwave Report from Outfar Press, hosted by Dan Roberts, somewhere out in Oregon. Let's not forget Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech,
yes,
where all of our background music tracks, yes, come from. If you like our funky musics we use for our background tracks, be sure to check out Incompetech.com.
Wow, Anthony, so much great programming and talent, stuff you won't find on mainstream media, folks. I can't leave the show without plugging our own website. Visit us at www.shyampa.info for our complete programming schedule.
Yep, yep. All right, fantastic, everyone. Shyampa.info. It was lovely. Thank you for joining
us. Yes, it was.
Thank you, yes.
Yes, it was. Yes. I hope you all had a chance to listen in, and perhaps you'll have a comment for us. You can always give us a call at the studios anytime at 813-327-8566.
All right, thanks, everyone, for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next week. Check out our blog at www.shyampa.info. And remember, folks, if you got to grease your pipe, do it with pizza grease. Have a good night, a good week, and stay tuned for a brand new episode of This Way Out with a Q.
Good night with an E.
Something like that.
Ooh.